We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds.
Hey there, welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Eurostep Podcast Network and the Blue Wire Podcast family. I'm Ty Windisch, one of your hosts. I'm joined, as always, by the lone wolf, Rohan Kadi. He's not a lone wolf. We did a stupid wild animals gag before we started recording. Rohan, how's it going?
I'm doing all right, you know, we had our first, like, big snow today as we're recording on Sunday. It's here.
Winter is here. It's no longer coming. It's here.
Yep. Oh, that's a Game of Thrones reference.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah. It is. Indeed.
I'm clearly a big fan.
But the Wisconsin winter. What?
You know what else is not coming? Ooh, I don't know.
Ooh, what?
I messed this up really badly. I was trying to do a segue that we already did. Our first playback.
Oh,
worked.
Nice.
It didn't really work.
That's okay.
Went well in my
head. Playback worked. Playback worked.
Yes, playback worked really well. We did one last Thursday for the Raptors game. It was a fantastic experience. It went really well.
It did. Yeah, it did. No, I was just thinking of the game and us thinking it was over, and then it wasn't, but then it was, and they lost. But yeah, we had people signing up to get into the Eurogroup Discord during the game, just so they could come hang out and watch the game with us. So playback is kind of like Twitch for sports. You can come watch us watch the game. We have a good time with it. We plan to be on air less, and then we just had so much fun. We talked for like three quarters of the game. It was a blast. But you have the option to mute us if you just want to watch the game, which I don't blame anyone who does that. But there's also a chat going on with everyone else in there. It was a really good, positive time. So if you want to get into the next one, get in the Discord. All you have to do is screenshot either your five-star review on Apple Podcasts of the show. Got to be five. Or if you don't have Apple, we understand. Not everyone has Apple products. Some people too cool for Apple. You can screenshot proof that you are subscribed to the Substack, gspn.substack.com, where you get notifications every time we post a new podcast with the links you need to find it. Also, we do some writing on there. I interviewed Sandro Mamukelashvili. Rohan has done some analysis, and there's more coming, I believe, on that note. So subscribe to the Substack, subscribe to the pod feed, rate and review where you can, and send proof of that to us on Twitter at Ty Windisch, at Arcadi Jr., at Eurostep Pod, or at Eurostep Pod, or maybe podcast, at gmail.com. I'll look up which one it is, but if you're not on Twitter,
Eurostep Pod.
The Eurostep Pod. Thank you, Rohan. Send it to us, get in the Discord, and then Wednesday, December 15th,
against the Pacers. That is when our next scheduled playback room is. And it's so fun. It was so fun. We got a lot of comments like, oh, it's nice to be able to like have like a hangout space with Bucks fans because I live across the country. I don't really get to watch games with Bucks fans anymore. It was heartwarming. It was nice. It was a good experience. Can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, I mean, you got people saying it's 4 a.m. here, and I'm yelling at this game because that was a wild game.
And it's all in sync, by the way.
Yeah, we all get Everyone to watch it together. Sync. It's great. So check out Playback. But okay, I think that's enough reminding and shilling. Obviously, the people know the GSPN pipeline. It's loaded. There's a lot happening. A lot of pods last week. If you haven't listened, you can go listen back. But we had to sit down and just figure out, Rohan, what's going on? The Bucks have had quite a busy week. It's hard to put it all together. We've had injuries, illnesses, roster moves. So I think we want to sit and take a look at all these roster moves. I think that is a good way to figure out, like, what's going on with the Bucks roster. What have we learned, you know, 20-plus games in, however many games they've played. But first, let's check in on the injuries, because I do think they color some of what the Bucks are doing here on the roster move front.
For sure. Let's start off with Brook Lopez, right? I know you and Jordan did an emergency pod. If you want to get a full in-depth breakdown of that, make sure you go listen back to that one. But we're just going to reiterate. Brook Lopez had back surgery, I believe last Friday?
It was announced Thursday.
Thursday.
Because we knew going into the Raptors game.
Okay, so it was not last Thursday that he had successfully undergone back surgery. No idea what kind of back surgery, which kind of limits our options on outlook, because it's like you don't know. Oh, is he going to be out for like the next 5 years? Is he going to be like, is he going to be coming back at any point?
Yeah.
The only sort of tidbit of information we have is that Mike Budenholzer said he is not ruling out a regular season return.
Yes.
For Brook Lopez.
And Zach Lowe followed that up with reporting on NBA Today or whatever the Jump is called now. That
it's NBA Today. That's what I thought. Don't compare it to the Jump.
Well, okay.
It's much better than the Jump.
That's what I hear. Moody Moosey, but I just thought about Perk. Zach Lowe reported there's optimism in and around, or whatever wording people use these days, the Bucks, that he will be back by the end of the regular season. Jordan and I were more pessimistic. I mean, the other, you know, over 30 big man who ended up needing back surgery comp to make is Serge Ibaka, who has not, still really doesn't look the same, and it's been a lot more than a few months. I mean, the end of the regular season, believe it or not, is like, what, 4 months from now? It's December. The end of the regular season is April. We're not that far from that anymore. So we'll see. Hopefully it's a more of a minor thing. Like you said, we don't know. All we can do is say, get well soon, Brooke. Hopefully everything is going well, because obviously back injuries for anyone, much less a 7-foot-tall center, nothing to trifle with.
Yeah, and let me remind everyone again that the media rules state that the team must designate a specific injury or illness, which the Bucks are not doing.
Back.
Just back. this team.
Yeah.
whatever.
And then
they're getting out of my nerves. I guess hopefully it's not a nerve thing with Brook.
Oh, God.
Who knows? Back surgery could mean anything.
It could mean anything. The other long-term injury that we know about, I guess there's another one that we have an actual timeline for, but Dante DiVincenzo still out indefinitely. It looks like, I believe I saw him during the Heat game on Saturday night in street clothes on the bench, moving around a bit. I think that was Dante, and we've seen him like dunking. So he seems to be closer, whatever that means, but no official timeline there. I don't believe he's doing 5-on-5 yet either, which is usually an indicator of someone being ready to come back soon, but we don't have much info there.
That's the Bucks' only injury timeline they give is, oh, he's playing 5-on-5 again.
Yeah. But I don't think Dante is.
No, I don't believe so. I haven't seen anything from around the guys who are in shoot around or anything like Eric Name or anyone. So I would assume,
right? Like, if he can dunk, how far could he be?
Probably not very far.
Right? Like, I mean, it's
dunking's difficult.
Yeah, it's like a foot heel thing. I mean, if you could take off, dunk, and land, I don't know. I mean, I guess like quick cutting and stuff could be more.
Yeah, maybe like lateral stuff is a little iffy.
Maybe.
I don't know.
He's
probably not too far away, is what we're saying.
Yeah, he's probably closer.
Yes. Which is a good thing. Yeah. You want to see Dante.
Definitely. Obviously. Although I wonder at how close at one of the roster moves we're going to look at, which kind of to me feels a Dante-esque player, but we'll move on. Number 37, Semi Ojeleye. I'm saying his name again. I'm dropping the ban. He's too important now.
What? He's too important.
Well, if Brook is out for a while, every big man is a lot more important now.
Okay.
Everyone on the roster, including Mamu, who started a game over the weekend. Like, that's everyone fair. Is important now, especially with Giannis banged up. We'll get there in a second. I think should only be a week away, according to the original timeline, but for his calf injury?
Yes, it was a calf strain. That's something he dealt with in the preseason. That's why he didn't really play in the preseason. We had to wait a while to see his debut. It just seems like it's been a lingering thing for him, and obviously you want to be cautious about it. Especially with calf injuries, those can be a little tedious because those can, you know, get into, I'm not saying it is, but it can get into Achilles things. So you just want to be super, super careful with those types of injuries. But luckily, we got a timeline for Shemi, and he's only about like a week away, like you said. So we'll get a reevaluation, an update, hopefully. I don't know with this team.
Yeah, you never know, but
hopefully. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, I say they do it. Am I going to get burned? Probably, but I have optimism. But there is another player who is dealing with a calf injury, and that's the big fella. That's Giannis. He has missed now his second straight game with what appears to be listed as calf soreness, I believe. Was it calf soreness?
Yes, right calf soreness, as per the Sunday injury report the Bucks released.
Yes, so he missed Thursday's game against the Raptors, which was a loss. He missed the blowout win over Miami because it's like, I don't know, whatever. I mean, like, no one was playing in that game. Yeah. I mean, Drew and Chris were, but, like, Giannis wasn't playing. Jimmy, Bam, they weren't playing. Just tough.
Yeah.
It was a weird game. It was a good result of a game, but,
you know. Although Miami had two 20 million plus per year players in that game, and they were terrible.
Wait, Lowry and
Duncan? Robinson, who's 4 for $80+ million and finally had a good game for the first time this season.
I forgot he makes 20 mil.
Oh, yeah, he sure does. And Tyler Hero well on the way to getting there, I'm sure, after this year, whenever he's going to hit free agency. So not a great sign for their multi-million dollar men. Also,
hey, we got to respect it. He's a full-time podcaster.
Let's follow up on one of my preseason takes. One, Kyle Lowry old. We're seeing it. Has scored less than 10 twice as many times as he scored 20 this year. And my other Miami Heat take, Dwayne Dedmon, top four shooter, still leading them in three-point percentage. 60%, I think. Or no, maybe it's not that high. But he is number one on the Miami Heat on very small attempts. But still, he also scored Miami's first 6 points against the Bucks on threes. So Dwayne Dedmon, a sniper.
He really is. This team does not have shooters. At all.
They have one, Dwayne Dedmon, but otherwise.
Yes. I remember thinking Dwayne Dedmon was Milwaukee's answer at center before they got Brook Lopez.
Yeah.
Not a bad take.
He was one of those guys for a while that it was like, oh, every team could use Dwayne Dedmon.
I mean, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's solid.
He's a dirty player. But
yeah. And also, I don't know if it's the beard or what. He just looks so old now.
He does.
I think it's the beard. He looks like he's been around. He has, but
it's the beard combined with the shaved head.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. That's Heat culture. He just looks like, I don't know. It's like the aesthetic, like the UD thing. Like, everyone should look like they've not played for 30 years.
I'm surprised UD didn't get minutes in that.
Yeah, it's surprising. Yeah, maybe it was a rest
especially
game.
Especially with how chippy it was.
They're going to need him. Maybe it was a game off for Haslam, but...
But Giannis is out. Like you said, with the Cavs injury report, he is listed as questionable.
Yeah.
Which is an upgrade. That just brought me back to when we were just saying doubtful.
He was doubtful for the last two games, correct?
I think going into both.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a chance that he plays against the Cavs. A good Cavs team, by the way.
Yeah.
A very good Cavs team. They're coming off a bad loss, not a bad loss, but like sort of a heartbreaking loss. So they'll be amped and ready for this Bucks team. I don't know what to make of this. It just seems like Giannis every now and then for the last few seasons, he just misses like two or three games.
Yeah.
In a row. It's just what happens. Usually it's listed as a knee injury, knee soreness. Now it's calf soreness.
I wonder if this is like, you know how the Sixers just have Embiid play through every possible malady and it always comes back to bite them? I wonder if this is one of those things where on certain teams he would be playing and the Bucks are like, sorry, no. Like, you have an elevated risk right now. Your calf is a little bit strained. you're not going to mess with it. Like, if we lose some, we lose some, but you're not going to play. Like, I do think there are teams and players who maybe he could be playing right now, but I think the Bucks smartly are not one of those teams who plays any sort of games with these injuries. That's just my take on what we're seeing.
Yeah. Also, Embiid never had surgery on a torn meniscus, by the way.
Rub some butter on that thing and get back out there, buddy.
He's the Giants athletic trainer from like 1940.
John Johnson. Back before they invented more than one name. John Johnson.
Twitter OGs know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I say like I'm one, but that's definitely a concerning injury for Giannis. Yeah. Any Giannis injury is concerning.
Yeah.
Usually it's knee soreness. Like I said, now it's calf soreness. We just hope that it's nothing severe. Like we said, he's questionable, so it doesn't appear to be that significant. He was moving around on the sidelines. He's been playing assistant coach. He's getting ready for the future of his career. After he's on play and he's going to be coach. That, I'm calling that right now. He is going to be an NBA coach.
We'll see.
I mean, look at him. When he's not playing, he's so antsy.
I guess I don't know what the hell else he would do.
I mean, he said, like, was it in the GQ interview where he said, like, once I'm done, I'm just going back to Greece. Like, I love Milwaukee. But like,
I can see that. Yeah, I guess that he's just going to coach the team he played on when he was 18.
Yeah, he might just, like, start his own basketball league in Greece. Who knows?
Could do that. Yeah.
Because he has Nike backing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That would be pretty sick. Speaking of sick, transition game on 10. Grayson Allen. Questionable as well with illness. He was a very late scratch for Saturday's game against the Heat. Also with illness, the Bucks have it. So if it was COVID, technically, supposedly, the Bucks would have to announce this differently. It's then you enter health and safety protocols. It's not out with an illness. So although infamously, Chris Middleton missed a game with illness and then entered protocols, so I don't think we're out of the woods there with Grayson, although now it has been 2 days of injury reports where it's just illness, and he's still questionable, so hopefully not COVID. Hopefully he is just under the weather, but we'll
Boston
probably
tie over here.
We should find out more soon, but obviously, you know, a big loss, especially without Giannis. Grayson, a guy who can make up for some of that scoring load.
Yeah, one of the best three-point snipers in the entire league this season. Just one of the most efficient jump shooters this season, Grayson Allen. But again, I will say with Chris, the only reason he was away from the team, that's why he didn't get tested. Who knows if Grayson's just chilling at home and he hasn't been to the practice facility to get tested? Who knows?
It's hard to say. You know, I wonder, because was Chris that late of a scratch when he missed his first game with illness?
I believe he was. It was like afternoon.
Because Grayson's, wasn't it like right before? So yeah. Maybe he was there. Who knows? I mean, we'll figure it out. Obviously, it's easy to be a worrywart right now. I mean, COVID is bopping across the NBA.
Especially with the Hornets having four players enter health and safety protocols immediately after their Bucks game, where Giannis and LaMelo swapped jerseys and the team took LaMelo's jersey away from Giannis.
I will say, the ban on jersey swapping just seems dumb to me.
Wait, is that a thing?
Yeah, it was, and clearly they took the jersey away, but for a while they banned it because COVID. And it's like, guys are running and jumping into each other. Like, I know you want to lessen risk. I get it. I don't know if that's like...
He's already touched that jersey.
Right. Like, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, he was totally fine. You can yell at a guy. You can fist bump, high five. Again, block shots, going for a loose ball. All of that, COVID will never transfer during basketball, of course, because it respects the game. That's not true. That was sarcasm to be 100% clear. But the jersey swap, then it's like, okay, we're not playing anymore, and now I'm going to infect. It's kind of dumb, but whatever. It was a cool moment that, of course, during the pandemic now is like crappy, which is unfortunate. But yeah, hopefully the Bucks are unscathed, but it's tough out here right now.
It is. Hopefully, we're wishing Grayson the best. Hopefully, it's not, obviously.
And
hopefully
all the Hornets guys and everybody else, of course, with COVID.
Is that it with injuries?
No, George Hill.
Oh, yeah. Duh. Oh, my
George
God.
Hill.
This team is banged up.
We're back to six names on the injury report. And again, it's like all of them would slot in as rotation players, at least a little bit, right? Like, it's six important players.
Yeah, I think Giannis
players.
Cracks the rotation.
Yeah, it's, most teams, you can make the case. But a right knee hyperextension. He was also a pretty late scratch, if I remember right, for Saturday's game. He is also questionable for Monday night's game against the Cavs. And again, I do feel like not to downplay whatever injuries are happening, but we just know the Bucks are going to be cautious in this time of year. So would not surprise me if this was, again, something where they're saying, let's just, we'd rather be safe than sorry, George. We'll just play the two-way guys and get through somehow. Don't worry about it. But again, the fact that those three, Grayson, Hill, and Giannis, are all questionable at least leads you to believe that none of their injuries are that severe, but we'll find out.
Yeah, if George Hill is out for a game and then questionable the very next game, that leads you to believe that it's not a super serious injury. He's already missed one game. He missed that Hawks game last month, I believe, with some sort of lower limb injury. It's just he's old. He's old.
Yeah, yeah, and especially early in the year when Drew and Chris were like swapping being out, he had a lot of load that I bet the Bucks didn't really expect him to be carrying at this point in the season, or ever, if I'm being honest. Like, obviously they didn't sign George thinking he's going to start games and take a bunch of shots. So totally fine to give him a couple games off.
I mean,
make sure
he started half the games for the Bucks this
yeah,
season.
Yeah, like, he's really played a much bigger role than anticipated.
And how old is he?
34?
He is 35.
Ah,
35.
35.
Turns 36 in May.
Hopefully it's a happy birthday during a fun playoff run for George.
Oh, it's May. Yeah, they'll still be in.
Well, you got to remember, we're back to normal now. It's the finals. The finals being over by early June, it's going to be delightful.
Yeah.
The last playoff run was going on for... Okay, I know. I mean, I certainly agree.
Okay, now are we done with injuries?
Yeah, we're finally done with injuries. We can talk about the new guys now.
Okay. Let's start with the guy that hasn't been covered yet. And that is Wesley Matthews is back with the team. He's gone. What an exciting Bucks tenure for Yorgos Kalatzakis.
I wish someone could just grab all the clips of us talking about Yorgos, because the sheer disturbance when he was signed to a 3-year deal, and we found out later it was a buyout rules thing, I think, the way they had to sign him, but especially now that he's been waived. And I was talking to Keith Smith, who covers the league for really well, a lot of teams. But the way the rules are written to prevent cap circumvention, they cannot sign Yorgos to a two-way, nor can he even sign with the G League itself and play for the Herd. Like, he cannot be Bucks affiliated at all because he has more than 50K in guaranteed money, and that's like the magic cutoff there. So he doesn't seem like he's coming back. I mean, unless the Bucks want to break some more NBA rules, which maybe they will. We've seen it before.
Penalties aren't that steep, apparently.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. But I don't know if Yorgos is the guy you want to push the envelope on.
You know what's like? I don't know this for a fact, but we might have spent more time talking about Yorgos than he spent on an NBA court. He has spent a grand total of 48 minutes on an NBA court.
Oh, I bet we've talked about Yorgos. If you count off pod, easily.
Oh, easily. Pod, I'm even talking on. Yeah.
On
so
pod,
that's,
I think probably.
He's amassed a grand total of 16 points, 4 turnovers. He committed 8 fouls, hit a steal, a block. He had 8 total rebounds. Go off, Yorgos. 50% from 3, career 50% from 3 in the NBA, 2 of 4. 3 of 7 on 2 is not great. 11 shots. What a career.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boogie has literally matched his entire career in his two Bucks games. That's wild. 9 rebounds, 18 points in two games. 26 total minutes for Boogie.
What a wild deal. Last overall pick, right, in the draft?
Yep, number 60.
Acquired in that deal where they sent the 31st overall pick for these 2 seconds.
And a future second,
and
I
a
think.
Future second, yeah. Which is, I don't even know if that's future seconds that good.
No.
But, yeah, that didn't go well. That deal.
Well, the trade might work out actually because of the other guy. But let's get back to Wes, who he's the one guy we have not talked about on a pod, I believe.
After leaving the Bucks after the bubble to go ring chase with the Lakers.
Yeah, it did not work out.
The Bucks won a title.
Yeah, they did.
And now he's back.
The George Hill story. Except George did not choose to leave, but
no, George was very upset about leaving.
Yeah. Wes was not, but maybe in retrospect, he was, because here he is. Like Boogie, was on the couch and now is playing for the Bucks. At first, I didn't love this. I tweeted, I hope his deal is also non-guaranteed. Turns out it was, so there's some flexibility there with Wes. But, I don't know how much he's going to provide offensively. He's started off his second Bucks tenure by shooting 33% from the field and from three. Would not shock me if that's where he hovered for a lot of the year. I don't think we're going to see too much from him offensively anymore. But, I mean, just like a good value defensive guard who you can get for, I mean, basically nothing. I mean, I guess the cost to see what you have in Yorgos, which is probably not a huge expense. I think right now it's pretty obvious he's better than Yorgos at NBA basketball. So, like, I don't think there's anything not to like about this. It feels like just like a very low floor, low ceiling. Like, let's just get another body. And when I really flipped around on it is when you go like count through the Bucks rotation and you just assume Brooke and Dante are going to be out for a while. I ended up with Wes as my 9th guy. So you're adding a rotation guy for such a low cost. Like, why not? Like, you know, he can still play defense. He fits in with the team despite the leaving.
He really knows the team.
He knows the team. He knows how to play in this system. I think it's fine. Like, I'm not jacked like I am with Boogie, but I'm like, sure, why not get another rotation guy with a roster spot that, I mean, we had bemoaned it was like more or less useless. Like, Yorgos just was not going to play in the NBA this year.
No, absolutely not. I was the one who was wondering, hey, could they get him on a two-way again? Like you mentioned in talking with Keith Smith, no.
No. And also, I don't see the case for making a move with one of their current two-way guys.
Then what was the case for drafting him?
Well, they drafted him after one of the other guys, in fairness. But I think all those IG pictures with Thanasis were the case for drafting him.
Sorry, Thanasis. Hopefully you like Wes.
Everyone likes Wes. Yeah, well, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on Wes? Do you like Wes?
I think it's fine. I think it's fine. It's all right. Like, I had to put this in perspective. Like, pulling back the curtain a little bit in our GSPN little group chat. We were talking, like, we are just a little over a year removed from Ty, you and I talking on this podcast about how we were upset that Wes Matthews was not playing more. And that's in reference to the Heat series in the bubble, which also was like only like 13 months ago or 14 months ago.
It's absolutely wild. Insane. Yeah, that's nuts.
So it's not that out of the realm of possibility to see him in the rotation, especially because we were upset that he's not playing more so he could defend Jimmy Butler. Like, if you can get a type of guy like that, where you're not even have to guarantee that he's in the rotation, like you said, if he's the ninth guy, that's good. That's fine. Yorgos is doing nothing besides being TA's friend.
Yeah.
So what else, what do you have to lose? He seems like a good guy. He's a good player, Wisconsin guy, helps with the PR.
Yeah.
Plus, he just might actually be good. Who knows? You can take these chances.
Well, yeah, and it's one of those two where how many great guard defenders are on this roster besides Drew? Dante, when he's healthy, which is why I alluded to there being a comparison there earlier. But otherwise, you look up and down, like, George Hill is good. I don't think he's clamping guys regularly.
He's passable.
He's fine. I think Wes is a guy, though, who now, if you really want to put someone in a torture chamber, you can check out Drew and check in Wes for the, you know, whatever, 16 minutes, whatever it is that Drew is not on the floor, and go, okay, now you go make that guard's life hell. Like, it's a useful thing. Like, that's what he brings, you know. The threes will fall. He's going to do the arrow once in every three attempts or so, probably.
Did you see on the Bucks broadcast that he wanted to retire the arrow celebration, but then everyone's like, oh, are you going to be shooting arrows? So he brought it back.
That's awesome. I will say, I think last year's Lakers, not as nice of an offense to play in, probably, as this year's Bucks. So maybe he
creeps up. As evident by this year's Lakers.
Yeah, seriously. So maybe he creeps up closer to like 36, I think, percent that he shot with the Bucks last time. I think he was around 33 last year with the Lakers. So if he's like 35% from three and playing really good defense, that's helpful. There was a discussion, can he replace or replicate PJ Tucker's role? I think on guards, I don't buy him really. Well, I think on Butler, I think on LeBron, he's okay, but I don't know. I mean, that's just really a non-issue now. I don't think the Lakers are getting out of the West, I guess. And their one remaining game, I guess we'll see if the Bucks throw him on LeBron or not. But KD, I just think, and I was trying to articulate this on Twitter, and Twitter is Twitter, but like, I think PJ is longer and a little bit stronger than Wes. And I think that's why he made for a good PJ Tucker or a good Kevin Durant defender. I like Wes on strength more than either speed or finesse. And I think KD is such a finesse player that I'm just not sure if Wes can get enough into his airspace to bother him. But he is, I will say, Wes, similar height to PJ Tucker, obviously known as a tenacious defender. I think it's like one of my view on him vis-a-vis KD is like, it's not the end of the world if he ends up on KD on a possession. You're not freaking out. But I don't think he can do what PJ did. And I know there's this, like, KD still scored 50 and all this, but, like, there's levels to this. Like, he had to work really hard to score 50. I don't know if Wes could push him as hard as PJ. I don't think so. But we'll see. I guess we'll see. I mean, maybe that's a regular season experiment to have if you're the Bucks.
And especially the way the Bucks guard KD is they do it by – They have rotations, right? Like, they don't just stick one guy in him the entire time. They switch it up. They throw Giannis on him. They throw, like last year I was talking about, they threw PJ, they threw Giannis, they threw Chris, they threw Drew. Pat Connaughton was on him for a couple possessions. those didn't end that well. But if Wes ends up on him, like you're saying, it's all right. Like, he's not going to do any worse than anyone else is going to do.
Yeah, right? And I think...
Is he going to do worse than Chris?
Yes, I think so.
Chris is a little longer.
Yeah, I think Chris is actually a sneaky okay KD defender.
Chris has blocked KD's shots before. I remember this distinctly from when KD was on the Warriors. It was, I believe, the first game of the – or the first Warriors-Bucks game of the Bud era where the Bucks absolutely smash the Warriors in, is it still at Oracle at that
I think
point?
It was. I think it was. I think it was.
Still at Oracle. And it was like Giannis gave the post game, like, we've arrived sort of thing.
Hell yeah.
Katie had his shot blocked by Chris like two times in that game.
Chris is like, okay, he's 6'8". He's a small, or maybe 6'7" now, but whatever. He's long. But I think, like, Wes, certainly I'd probably prefer him over Grayson, someone like that.
Yes. Or even a good defender like Dante.
Yeah, just because Dante's a little too small.
He's small.
Yeah. But I think Wes is kind of small, too. But and we'll see, like, is number 37 play or Shemi playable by then or not? Hard to say. I think he still, to me, seems like an okay option to sponge some KD minutes. But if he just can't do any offense, then maybe not, because then you're probably giving away too much on the other end. But I think I keep coming back to with Wes. It's like he's just better than other alternatives just right now in general. He's better than Dante because Dante can't play. He's better than Yorgos because Yorgos wasn't going to play. He's better.
He also can't play.
Yeah. He's better than Teague probably in the aggregate, although Teague had the one game. But I think generally those Jeff Teague minutes that I was pulling my hair out about during the last postseason run, Wes probably fits into those a little bit better. He doesn't bring the ball handling, which maybe is good because I didn't really enjoy Jeff Teague's ball handling in the playoffs all that often. And also,
it worked
out enough. Also, he's better than Jordan Wara has been. And I think really, in addition to Dante's injury, that has a lot to do with some of these moves. Jordan Wara just not found to be trustworthy anymore. I mean, we're talking about new players, but I think this is a big part of why we're seeing new players. I mean, Javante Smart played like 30 minutes in a game Jordan Wara played 2 minutes in. Like, that's a scary sign for Jordan Wara. Javante Smart is a two-way player who's been in the Bucks org for like a week. And he got all that run. Like, it's not going well.
Is it a week?
It's about a week probably when he played that game. Right. Yeah.
Just what an absolute wild ride. Like, it's very uncommon for a team to go through this many roster moves at this time of year.
Yeah.
We're
not even to the trade window yet.
Exactly. You go ahead. It's like middle of December till the trade deadline is sort of when teams start making moves. We saw when the Bucks acquired George Hill his first go around, that was middle of December because the trade window opened up. It's very, very uncommon for teams to make moves during this window. But it's like we talked about with all the injuries, it's out of necessity. And also this team, they don't really have a lot of trade assets.
No.
Like, it's Dante and you're giving zero info. It's not like GMs are going to trust like, oh yeah, he's on a time. He's ahead of schedule. But yeah. They're going to say like, oh man, I definitely want to trade for him now. It's you don't really have any tradable assets. You can't trade a first round pick until like the world explodes. You don't have any second round picks for like the next 10 years. I mean, these are both factually incorrect, but they're basically correct.
Yeah. Yeah, essentially. And to be clear, the trade window is not when trades become legal. It's when newly signed players are eligible to be traded. So that's when
December 15th.
And some of them are later depending on exactly how they signed or what they signed, but most players in the league will be trade eligible by December or on December 15th. So then like there's talk that maybe that's when Ben Simmons trades could open up more, all this kind of stuff.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's still a thing. Fun fact. But the Bucks,
we don't get those daily Woj Shams updates
thank
anymore.
God.
I kind of forgot it's a thing. Those sort of reminded me that happened.
We were getting to the point of like Woj reporting the Sixers hacked Ben Simmons' better health. Like we were getting out of control with the amount of Ben is in the building, but not in the same room as it's like, okay, what are we tracking him? Does he have GPS? Like what is whatever. Anyway, I think the injuries are part of the reason we're seeing these moves. I think badness also part of the reason. Rodney Hood, I had seen some promising signs, but also that's not going great either. And I think some of this is like, let's filter in some of these, you know, vets who either have or have not been on the Bucks before and see if they can do better. And so far, the signs are like, yeah, they probably can. I mean, we'll see more on Wes. He's only played one game. Boogie, the other big addition, has played two games. Boogie looks awesome. Like, Boogie is passing really well. He's okay defensively. He's attacking mismatches on offense. He's letting threes fly. Like, he's only 2-for-6 against Miami in his 11 minutes, but he had 3 offensive boards, 2 assists.
He got in foul trouble.
Yeah, he had 3 fouls in that quick spell. But he had, oh no, I'm looking at Thanasis. He had 4 fouls, but he still scores 11 points. Like, he's just productive. I mean, he shot 8 free throws in 11 minutes. Like, he just does stuff that some of these other guys are not doing.
Exactly. Back to Rodney Hood. Here's a fun stat. Wes Matthews and Rodney Hood have blocked the same amount of shots for this Bucks season.
And it happened in the same game.
It did. One.
It's been rough for Rodney, man. I really thought that this could be like
him. And there's still time, to be clear.
There's still time, but he's shooting 29, 28, 31% from two. He hasn't missed a free throw, though.
Yeah, he's got a solid 9 attempts this season.
Yep, 9 for 9, 11 for 39 on threes, 6 for 19 on twos, which coincidentally is also exactly what Semi Ojeleye is shooting on twos, which is a terrible number for a big forward to be shooting on twos.
Yeah, so basically what we're trying to say is these guys that they were trying to rehabilitate, it's not looking too great right now, as of right now. So yeah. If you want to like make a regular season push, get that number one seed, which by the way, they're only like a game and a half back from. It's just, you got to go out there and make these moves. You got to go out there and get these before other teams sign them too. Like we're saying, the Bucks don't really have ample opportunity, like I was talking about earlier, to make trades because they don't really have any tradable assets. So if you're going to sign guys, you got to sign them early. Otherwise, they're going to go out the wayside. They're going to get other deals.
I really think that Boogie could be on the Heat right now if the Bucks had waited another week. Because once we found out Bam was going to miss like 5 to 6 weeks or whatever it is, like literally their center depth is Dwayne Dedman and then Yurt. Someone named Yurt.
Or Yurt 7.
Yeah. Yurt 7. That's what it is. Thank you. Like, I've not heard of, if I haven't heard of an NBA player, chances are he's not very proven. And I don't know much about Yurt 7, clearly.
He's not that good.
Yeah, we can say that.
That's a good point, though. Like, he might honestly be on the Heat.
Yeah, he would help them. Like, he's helping the Bucks right now. I think especially with Giannis struggling with injuries and obviously Brook Lopez being out for extended time. And the other part of it is, like, guys who even on this team wouldn't have opportunities. The two-way guys, I mean, Mamu in these last two games has looked like an NBA player, which is a lot. Like, we talked about this on our live stream. That's a lot to ask for from the rookie 54th overall pick. And he also, like Boogie, only 2 for 6 against Miami, 1 for 3 from deep. He started this game, chipped in 7 rebounds and 3 assists, continues to move the ball pretty well. You know, the shooting wasn't ideal, I think, but he had another nice dunk. Like, he's finding lanes to the rim and just finishing with power, which is great to see.
Him and Bobby have some nice front court chemistry in terms of passing. The defense is a little sus, but offensively, those two have a good feel for the game.
Well, and honestly, you know, you talk about what Boogie adds. How good is this for Sandro? I mean, I know we talked to him. I talked to him about learning from Giannis and Bobby, and that's great. I think Boogie, the way he passes from the traditional post, I think that's going to be really good for Mama, who's obviously already a good passer. But talk about another big guy to, like, just sponge info from. Like, Adam and Jordan, I know they talked about this on their pod after Boogie signed. I think we jump so quickly to, like, looking at his degree of washedness. It's worth remembering, like, he was one of the best 10 to 15 players in the league for, like, 5 years.
All-NBA first-team votes.
Yeah, All-NBA second-team twice, I think. Like,
yeah.
Like that, I mean, that says you're top 10. Obviously, the center position thing makes it difficult, but
you're a top two center.
Yeah, you're a top two center for at least 2 years. All stars, I think, 4 different times. Like, really, like an elite player in this league, and he's showing why he was now. He's not all the way there anymore, but there's still some helpful stuff. So I think you look at it, I'd be hard pressed to say Boogie and Wes won't be in the rotation for the rest of the season. I mean, we'll see how healthy Dante can get. And really, I remember before the season, we talked about the three-headed monster, I guess, of Semi, Hood, and Wara. And, like, can one of those guys, you know, be the guy? So far, it looks like no. Maybe it's just Boogie, and they're just going to be bigger.
Yeah. We were wondering, can one of these guys pop? No.
Apparently not. Not so far.
No.
Let's see. What's War? Is War shooting the same percentage on twos? No, he's
not. If he is, that's ridiculous. Okay.
No, he's 43% from two, a little bit better. Actually, 36% from three as well. His issue is like, can't really hold on to the basketball.
He can't do anything else.
Yeah.
We were talking, like, at least I was saying, like, his offensive scoring ability is good enough that he should be able to play. I take that back. I really do take that back.
No, I think his defense has been okay. I think his issue is just, like, you try to push the ball down the court and he just, like, loses it out of bounds or hands it to the other team. Like, he loses it on drives. He's shooting okay, but not well enough. Like, if I told you Shemmy was shooting 36% from three and 43% from two, it's like, great, perfect. Like, he's a defensive-first player who's really proven there. War has been, like, good to solid defensively and just a train wreck on offense. Like, literally not been playable because he's just, like, gumming up the offense so bad, which seemed impossible. Like, that was his whole thing. He was a sharpshooter, looked great in the Olympics at times, and I don't know what's been going on this year, but it just has not shown up.
I think Lisa Byington, also fantastic.
Yeah, she's
cannot
great.
Get over just how incredible she's stepped in for Jim. And it was nice to have Jim back on the broadcast last night.
It was so good, man. Oh, I miss him. Yeah. I love Lisa. Yeah. Miss Jim.
Yeah, just get all three of them. That's what I'm trying to say, Bucks. Come on, money-making idea right there. But yeah, Lisa was saying, like, this is Lisa and Marcus were saying, like, this is the difference with NBA basketball. You can look good in any sort of exhibition, in the Olympics and preseason, as good as you want. The NBA minutes are different. And that's why they were so impressed with Javonte Smart.
Oh, perfect transition. Oh,
thank you. I worked on that one. Who, like you were saying, has been in the Bucks organization for about a week and is playing 30 plus minutes against the Miami Heat and not looking bad, or under just a shade.
28 minutes. Yeah.
And not looking bad. Not looking bad at all. My first impression of him, I'm obviously a little more unfamiliar because I'm not as in touch with the G League as you are. But one, he's a big guard. He is a big guard. 6'4", I think, is underselling him a little bit. He seems a little bit taller. I was trying to, like, figure out, like, oh, man, why is he – I thought he was a point guard. Why does he look like kind of like a 2'3"? But he moves fluidly. He can handle the ball well. He looked good. He looked like he belonged on an NBA court, given there are a lot of moments where he was just like, okay, Chris or Drew is on the floor. I'm not doing anything. Even if I have a penetration lane, I'm just kicking it out. Like, there were a couple of times where he had opportunities to drive and he was just like, nope, I'm giving the ball to Chris because that is my safety blanket in offense, which is, you know, fair. So, again, first NBA game. It's going to be a little bit of nerves, but he looked good. He seemed like he needed to hit some shots. He kept trying. Eventually, he did get a three to fall, but I'm impressed. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, I think he's one where right now the box score stats don't look great. Like not a great shooting night, couple of turnovers, but he did look like he just fit in more, and that's one where he'll probably get more chances to play, and we'll see how those numbers adjust in larger samples. And certainly he had no issue scoring efficiently in the G League, where he basically scored 22 a night on 50-40-90 efficiency with Sioux Falls. That was over a five-game sample, but it was his rookie year. Like, he really came on hot. I think it's a smart gamble. Like, Justin Robinson, 2 years older, was not really showing all that much on the NBA level. Just makes more sense to say, let's give this guy a shot. And I'm glad that the Bucks now are giving the two-way guys real opportunities. They kind of have to, but not entirely.
Especially with Mamu.
Like, these are the kind of swing moves where, you know, everyone wants to think about, could this guy be a star? And obviously that'd be great. That'd be awesome if Mamu was a star. But
Jokic 2.0.
Exactly. And
I mean, who knows?
The near words of John Horst. But even just get a rotation player, right? Like, build someone up like Pat, where maybe a guy like Javonte Smart or Mamu is like on a 3-year deal for like $4 million a year after they're a two-way, and people around the league are like, oh, who the hell even is that guy? But the Bucks like him. He fits in the system. He's a good culture guy, and he works on the game and he improves, and all of a sudden you get to, and again, this would be an amazing outcome. But look at where we're at now with Pat, where it's like he's going to opt out and like triple his salary, if not more, because he's really good. Like, I'm glad they're like proactively giving guys opportunities, kind of having to. But I mean, if Bud wanted to go full Tibbs and just play vets a ton of minutes, he could have done that. And they didn't. They started Mamu instead of like Rodney Hood or someone like that. And it's just exciting. And they're really exploring opportunities. You know, they're not resting on the guys that they've had. So I think despite it being a challenging season and, you know, like having Yorgos in the first place was kind of an odd move, but whatever the reasoning was there, I think we're at a pretty good place here.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, it's just like, it's what the Miami Heat have been doing for the last couple of years. That's how you get a guy like Duncan Robinson, where you pay a gazillion dollars and just doesn't work out. That's not a good example. But they keep getting these guys. It's like, where did they come from? The first example was probably Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah.
Where it's like he sort of comes through the G League. I'm not naming good names right now.
Well, even guys now, like Max Strus lit up the Bucks. That's a guy that they brought him along from the G League and then brought him up. And he's like a real player. And that's like
Javante Smart is taken from the Heat.
Yeah. It's a good org to poach from. That's the thing about these G League guys. Like, if you're not on a two way, you're available. Like, someone could come snatch up Wenyen Gabriel or Rajon Tucker right now. And it's someone probably will, at least one of those guys, if not both. But, you know, it's smart to be proactive with those spots, those two ways, especially because there's no tax hit, right? Like, it's absolutely, you can just shuffle through guys as long as you want. And the new rules, you get 50 NBA games instead of a certain amount of NBA days. That's a lot of usage. I mean,
and it's prorated from when you're signed.
Yeah, right? But still, I think it is, but I mean, I think
you can't
just
sign a guy when you have 50 games left.
Well, yeah, and you can't. I don't think you can, like, yeah, because you can't just like release and get another 50 games out of the next guy. But I think Mamu's only played a handful of games. Javante obviously won. I think they're going to be available a lot if the Bucks do need them, and I'm sure we'll see them with the Herd too. But I just think now after these moves, the roster makes a little bit more sense. Wouldn't shock me if we saw some more moves, like. I don't know how long Shemi and Rodney Hood will be here if they continue to just not contribute. Do they try to sell early on Wara even, who I think is going to hit free agency? We'll see. But we know the Bucks. We always say the Bucks will be proactive. That was proven again this last week when they added basically two rotation players plus a promising two-way. And those guys are already playing and looking solid for the Bucks.
Yeah, they really are. Should we just do like a – let's. Since we're reevaluating the Bucks roster, should we go through our playoff rotations as of right now?
Sure. Ooh, yeah, it's going to be fun. Let's do it.
Okay. At guard. I sound like I'm doing player intros.
I was going to say, whoa, we got some energy here.
So, obviously, you've got Jrue Holiday. You've got Grayson Allen. I'm going to assume that – are we counting West as a guard?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I would say.
Also, we're going to assume that everyone's healthy come playoff time, even if that's not a fair
including
assumption.
Including Brooke?
Yeah.
Okay.
Including Brooke. So Dante and Wes and George Hill.
Are you just asking me who the guards are?
No, I'm...
Oh, you're saying. Okay.
I'm saying.
Okay, so your guards are... Sorry, say it again. I was distracted.
So Jrue, Grayson, Wes, George... Dante.
Your rotation is huge.
Yeah.
Five guards?
Well, they're not all going to play the same amount of minutes.
Well, I know. But, okay, forwards.
Forwards. We've got, who we got? We got Chris. We got Giannis, obviously. Bobby. Yep. Bobby's a four.
Sure.
Pat. And that's it.
Yeah. So that's nine.
And then my bigs is Brook and Boogie.
So 11. That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot of guys for a playoff rotation. I'll do some caveats in mine. I'll do some caveats. Okay. So,
well, here, can I do my caveats?
Yeah, do your caveats.
So if Dante and Wes are looking around the same, one of them's gone.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Or either, at least situational.
Yeah. I'm saying if they're putting in around similar levels of production, both defensively and offensively, only one of those guys is playing.
It's going to be Dante as well.
Yeah.
I think he's younger. He's more athletic. Or, I think it would be Dante.
No, I mean, that's not Bud's MO.
I think Bud likes Dante. I think Bud likes Dante. Yeah, Dante's his guy.
He likes Wes, though.
Dante played over Wes in the bubble when he absolutely shouldn't have.
That's true.
I think he would play over Wes now when he's proven more than he did then. I think my guards are mostly the same, if that's your guard caveat.
So realistically, I have four guards.
Drew and Grayson are obvious. And then George Hill, I think, is obvious. And then really, realistically in the real world, it's whoever's healthier out of Wes and Dante. I think if they're both equally healthy, as long as he doesn't look super rusty, it's probably going to be Dante. But Wes is nice insurance, right? Like, what if something else happens? What if he doesn't get fully healthy? Like, I think that's what Wes is for. Then the forwards, Chris and Giannis, of course. Pat, of course. Bobby, situationally.
I think he's solidified himself in.
See, we had the opposite take a little while ago.
I know, but here's the thing. He's been playing the best basketball of his career.
He has. He's been awesome. Stretch.
It's been really incredible. He's doing it offensively. He's doing it defensively. He's getting rebounds. He's being in the right spots. He's not getting picked on anymore. They've sort of went to a scheme where he's not able to be exploited as much. They're not like just super deep dropping him, or they're not just like having him switch onto guards and, you know, try to get beaten.
The Tatum game, Celtics game was brutal.
They're not doing that anymore. So I think Bobby sort of solidified himself a playoff spot because those weaknesses that we saw that took him out of that Brooklyn series, I feel like he's sort of shored up those weaknesses a little bit.
I still think there's a situation where there can be a defensive-orientated forward who fits in here somewhere, whether that it somehow ends up being Shemmy. A lot of season ago, we'll see. You know, I know that, like, Rare Monkey in our Discord, one of the few people, it's not even an island, like, you know, standing in waders on the Shemmy Ogilvy Coral Reef, and there's not many polyps left there. But, you know, the case is like, well, he's still, the calf is still bothering him or whatever else. So we'll see. There's a lot of season left, so potentially we'll see that. But TA, potentially, for very small spells just to defend? I don't know. I think there's room there, though. I think with some of the teams they're going to play, namely Brooklyn, I think we'll see one other guy at least get chances. And maybe that's a roster move player. I guess we'll find out. And then center, Brook, hopefully. And then Boogie. I'm to the point where I want to see Boogie in almost every game. I don't know. I think he's looked so good. Like,
I think we're also in that new period where it's like, we want
honeymoon,
to see him.
Honeymoon
yeah,
phase.
We're in the honeymoon phase with the Boogie where it's like, ooh, I want to see him. I want to see
Boogie.
What he can do.
Let's Boogie.
Yeah. Yeah. I want him to start some games here and there.
Honestly, the fact that Sandro started over him is kind of funny. And I think part of it is, I think they like having Boogie and Bobby to go, like, give each other rest and stuff. But he's looked good, even if it is, like, limited spells. Although I think there will probably be some teams where he just doesn't play. But we'll see. I mean, the way he's looked so far, the way he's been able to live on defense, and if he gets a small guy, really just automatically take that guy to the paint for 2 points offensively, with the passing and maybe the shooting, it's pretty intriguing. That's all I'm going to say. It's pretty intriguing.
Plus, he's just like, also, I don't think this has been talked about too much. He's just like a bully.
Yeah, he is. He's strong and he looks good physically.
Yeah. Like, he's sort of trimmed down a little bit out of necessity because he had a very large frame that contributes to lower leg injuries. Yeah. That was rough. I don't know how he did what he did when he was that way.
Honestly, dude. I don't know how you make it. What do you have, an ACL and an Achilles? I don't know how you make it back from both of those to keep playing.
That's incredible.
After, like, all the earnings and everything. That's why I think it's underrated, like, when he talked about what the Bucks process with him was like before he was signed. Like, the way he made it sound, it was like an extensive workout. Like, the Bucks were like, we're going to make sure that you're ready for this. And then they also had an extensive, like, expectation setting conversation, so everyone would be on the same page and make sure that Boogie was really down for this kind of role. And so far, it all looks great, and it just looks like a good process and a good result.
Yeah. Plus, like, I know Bucks fans have been clamoring for a guy that's just, like, not going to take any BS.
He's a good enforcer, dude. He is a good enforcer.
I'm telling you, this comp is getting better and better. Greg Monroe.
Yeah.
Like, Greg Monroe was not taking anything from anyone. And he was like the best passer from the center position.
He could do it. He was like a three assist guy. Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't know. This comp is getting better and better. Why not just bring back Greg Monroe as an assistant?
I had thought about Greg Monroe for a while when they really needed a center. That was one of the. I think he's in the G League right now. Like he's very available. I think he is. Oh, I think he's staging a comeback. But
let's go. I'm rooting for him.
Yeah. Good luck, Greg Monroe. But yeah, Boogie has been good. So it's funny because I think on the way in we were like, no way, he's a playoff guy. Like my expectation was sponging regular season minutes. And by the end of the first game, I was like, he better play every game. I need Boogie in my life.
Also, another thing on Boogie. Just, I don't know, we're just talking about
the Boogie pod.
Yeah. Like, there was a stretch where we talked about earlier, he had like three fouls and like a little bit of a spell. He got called for another one. And he's just like sort of getting really upset. And Chris is sort of like, DC, come on. It's okay. Like, Chris is that guy, though.
He is that guy. He was that guy with Bobby
in the finals. Where he's just like, settle the F down.
Yeah, that
like,
was
we're
great.
Talking about like guys where are they going to fit into the Bucks culture? The Bucks culture is real.
Yeah.
Like they do not take anything. Like Giannis has said in the past, him and Chris, they root out all the a-holes.
Yeah.
They don't take anything. But they don't take anyone that's out of line.
And I know you're not saying this. I was never very worried about Boogie like taking
No,
the
not
Bucks.
At all.
I don't think
not
he's a problem. All. I think the Clippers enjoyed having him. I think the Warriors, he was good
Every
there.
Every team that's yeah. had Boogie has said they've loved Boogie.
Except, I mean, the Kings are the Kings, and that's...
The Kings just didn't want to pay him the Supermax.
Well, also, I can't believe George Karl didn't get along with a star player. We've never seen that before in Milwaukee. Ray Allen, who is adored by everyone, who also got traded away by George Karl for no real reason. Like, that's also, what George Karl does.
Yeah,
Carmelo
also,
Anthony.
Boogie with the Grant Napier, the King.
That was excellent. If you're unaware of this, like... During, I want to say, one of the more period of more awareness on Black Lives Matter and similar things, Boogie just like innocuously, did he ask him about Black Lives Matter? Was that it?
He literally added Grant Napier and he was like, what are your thoughts on Black Lives Matter? That's it. That was the tweet. And then Grant he was hooked. He was absolutely
tweeted
a response that I'm not going to say because I don't want to give it any credit. But he immediately lost his job.
and Boogie knew exactly what he was doing.
Exactly.
Boogie knew. There's an NBA.com statement on this.
Yeah. So I don't want to give his response any credence, so I'm not going to say it. But I remember what it was.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Boogie, he seems like he knows what he's doing, and he knows how to get it. Like, that was incredible. Incredible work by Boogie. He seems like a good culture guy. Why not? If you're going to have someone complain to the refs, like why not have it be a guy who has a history of complaining to referees and sort of has that credibility? And also, if he's a guy that gets a tech, all that's going to happen is he's going to fire up the team. It's not like he's the star player anymore and he gets ejected. That's the team's downfall. You know?
Like, oh, yeah.
All he's going to do is fire up the rest of the team.
No, I honestly think like Bobby has gotten so good and important that having a different big guy who can push over Chris Paul is essential. And Boogie hates Chris Paul. It's perfect. Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform? What is there to dislike? Like when Bobby came in and we said, hey, listen, this guy punched Nikola Mirotic in the face. That's a beautiful thing. Boogie hates Chris Paul and racism. What could you not like about that?
Exactly. This is a clip for sure. This is a social clip. we can't get enough of the Boogie experience, even though we just went through our playoff rotations. We're just like, we managed to talk about Boogie again. I don't know where
the tweet is just so good. I just looked up his
it's
Boogie's
so good.
Tweet. Just
like, was
nowhere.
I right? He just added him and just
at
asked
Grant
him
Napier
his
show, what's your take on BLM? ? And then apparently after he posted, that's exactly what I expected you to say.
Did he really say that?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I love this move.
I'm trying to. I gotta find that tweet. But I read there was literally an NBA press release that has this detail. Cousins, who has been criticized by Napier in the past. This guy was pretty vicious to Boogie. Yeah. I think a lot of people were that he couldn't carry the Kings, which literally no one has done for the last 20 years. But
might be a Kings problem.
Yeah, it might be a Kings problem. So Cousins posted that Napier's response was expected. This is in an NBA press release. Former Kings forward Matt Barnes then called Napier a closet racist, also in the press release. So other people had takes too. That's enough Grant Napier talk for the rest of the year and probably the existence of this podcast. Yeah. But shout out to Buddy Cousins.
Also, what a bad iconic line. If you don't like that, then you don't like NBA basketball.
I think it's Kings basketball, right?
No, he did version? NBA as well.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. Just like, okay, sure. Don't tell people what to like. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
We're caping for Boogie a lot. For a guy. Do we also, quick rapid fire. Both Wes and Boogie, do they make it past the guaranteed date?
Both of them?
Yes.
I'll say
quick,
yes.
Just rapid fire.
I'll say yes. Okay. I'll say yes.
I'll say yes too.
I think so.
They could be important.
Well, I just wonder, like, if
how are you going to do any better?
I guess Dante. That's the one.
Yeah, but that's not going to cost you a roster spot.
Well, tax. Tag, our old friend of the show, luxury tax savings.
Like, no, vet mins don't count against luxury tax.
I don't know about that.
I'm pretty sure they do.
I think they do. I think it's less, but I think they still count against it. I'm pretty positive. Because if they didn't, then teams like the Bucks would have three maxes and 12 vet min contracts, I think. I don't know if all of the deal does, but I'm pretty positive some of it does.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, but
count against the cap, like the hard cap.
Yeah. But the one scenario is if Dante comes back and looks good, that could nuke Wes's role, basically. But I don't think there's going to be another roster move where they would need the spot because that, of course, is way before the trade deadline, the guaranteed date, January 7th, I think, and way before the buyout market really starts in, like, March. So I'd be hard pressed to find another free agent who they'd be like, oh yeah, we'd waive Wes Matthews for this guy. So I really think
Robin
it'd be
Lopez.
Wes. Honestly,
I'm telling you, bring back the entire crew.
I see all the posts about Robin now, and I think people are saying a trade of like Shemmy and Hood would work or something like that.
It technically works, but I don't know why the Magic would do that.
Yeah, they wouldn't. The Bucks found the backup center. I don't think they need another center. Even with Brook out for a while, I don't think you need more centers. I think you need another four who can play. But between Giannis...
Thad Young isn't happening, by the way.
No, I don't think so.
Unless he's bought out.
That would be awesome.
Some team is trading for.
Yeah. I think that's what the Spurs want. They're not really using him for that purpose.
And he's made it very clear that he's not happy about it.
Same with John Wall.
Yeah. It seems like those two, both of those guys are... meeting ends with their teams relatively soon.
Yeah.
John Wall, future Buck.
What about Kevin Love?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they're going to get rid of him, but he's been showing
Kevin
some signs
Love's
of life
five.
This year. Yeah, probably is now. But I think between Boogie, Giannis, and a little bit of Bobby, I think they're probably good at the five. I think another four
and
would help a lot.
And hopefully Brook returning.
Yeah, especially if Brook is back by end of season, like the Bucks are saying they would like to see. Or they're saying that they expect. Obviously, they would like to see
that. It might happen.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
what they're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know what other roster moves could be made. I know, like I just mentioned, John Wall's been linked to the team.
I'm no longer in on Gary Harris.
No, Gary.
Can't play anymore.
That man hasn't been able to play offense in 3 years.
Yeah, it's tough. Sorry,
it's
Gary.
It's Torrey Craig 2.0. Like, why?
That might actually be insulting to Torrey Craig, which sounds wild, but...
Yeah, you're right.
Like, sorry, that might even be mean to Torrey, who I have a penchant to being mean to Torrey, but that might be a little too much.
Yeah. I don't think there's any other real moves that can be made, right?
I mean, I forgot about Wes, so maybe there's someone else out there like that, but I don't know who it would be.
Kyle Korver?
God, I hope not. Sorry, Kyle.
Bring back the band, trade for Bledsoe. You know?
Oh, you know what? Let's follow up on this because we argued about this. How's Bled doing for the 12-12 LA Clippers? Let's see.
Oh, that's true.
Let's
we
see.
Did have an argument about that.
9 points per game, 27% from three, 48% from two is not bad. 9 points, four rebounds, 3.5 assists, two turnovers. Started 22 of their games.
It's not terrible.
Below league average point guard. Maybe average. I assume the defense is still pretty good.
He's been pretty good defensively.
Maybe around average, probably below. I wanted Wall. Gone. I said I wanted Wall.
Yeah, you wanted Wall.
I guess we'll see if he plays. How that looks.
I don't know. He doesn't have the Rockets to want him to play.
It's sad. It really is. I mean, it's. Because I get
it's
it.
A
I get it from the Rockets' perspective, but like, you shouldn't be able to just get a guy and then like banish him. But
yeah, it's also like, if you want to have a divorce, you got to give it up if you're John Wall. Then
yeah, and of course he doesn't want to.
Because he has a massive. He's like 45 mil, I think.
Yeah, next year too. Yeah, it's two years left. He's got 2 years on that thing. Well, this and next year, I mean. But
yeah,
a lot of money.
Just a wild contract.
Oh my God, DJ Augustine's throwing less than 4 points a game.
Yeah, I feel bad for DJ.
But shooting 40-40-90, they're just not really playing him.
Yeah, they started playing their vets again a little bit, like Eric Gordon's hitting game winners.
Yeah, actually, there's a guy who I'm a little interested in.
He is too big of a contract.
Yeah, I know.
It's like 17.
I don't think they would buy him out either.
No, no chance. What's he at? I think 17. What's his name? Eric Gordon?
Yes, it is.
Eric Gordon is making 21.
Yeah, he got that was like the last thing Morey did was give him a huge deal.
Oh, yeah. Morey gave everyone except PJ Tucker the bag. And then PJ came to Milwaukee and got the ring. PJ got his ring on Saturday.
That was nice. That was nice. It was a good moment. I was glad the love is still there between him and the city.
Exactly.
I'm okay if
the crowd
seemed
to really. Yeah, that's like, who cares?
I do sometimes too. I can relate.
Yeah. Like, I have enemies with the injury reports and stuff. It's Bucks all PR. Part of the process.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Just Bucks PR at large, I guess.
On that note,
you said it, not me.
I know. But on that note, probably time to wrap.
Yeah, it's
now
probably
that we're
time
declaring
to wrap.
Enemies, I think we're ready to call it a show.
Bucks PR, if you're listening to this, I do not want to be your enemy.
No.
To be clear.
At Bucks PR, come on the pod. I don't even know if there's an account called that.
It hasn't tweeted in like 4 years, which is fitting. We also planned for this to be like a 35-minute episode, and it's like pushing an hour 10 now.
Well, you know what? When I said let's get a 30-minute, I was like, we'd probably keep it to an hour if we aim for 35 minutes, and it
exactly.
worked out perfectly.
It did work out perfectly. This is also why we do plugs up top. But also, I can do plugs again. Sorry if it's just repeating myself, but make sure you are subscribed on your podcast platform of choice. Make sure you leave a 5-star review. Ty, I know we have some 5-star reviews, so we should get one of those read.
Big news. We're 3 away from 200. They've been flooding in lately.
Let's go.
If you haven't left one on an Apple device, on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars, please. We're getting very close. So here we go. We have a pile of them now. I love this. But 5 stars from GYJVV. I don't know how to pronounce that, but 5-star review. That's what matters. Perfect listen for any Bucks fan! ! Great high energy start here. Such an amazing listen for any Bucks fans. A true podcast for the true fan. It's been exciting to see this podcast growth as we've gone forward, and the content continues to get better and better. Thank you guys for giving me a great place for Bucks content. You're welcome. Thank you for the very nice review.
That is a very kind review. It is very appreciated. It's nice to see. Like, also, it was great to see when Spotify Wrapped came out. Just like everyone
tweeting.
Dude,
that was
like,
so cool.
It was so heartwarming. It was incredible. I almost wanted to start crying. Like,
yeah.
It was emotional. Like, it means we truly do appreciate the support so much. So that review, thank you for that.
Thank you. It's like, when I remember that day, I think I got mine first or something, and then I was like, oh, I should send a tweet to see if anybody had our show on theirs, because that'd be neat to know. And I checked either my account or the Eurostep account, and I saw there was like 2 or 3 already up, just like pretty early in the morning. And I was like, oh, wow, this rocks. And then they just kept coming throughout the day. So I think at least one of us replied or at least retweeted and shared all of them. But that was awesome. So thank you to everyone who did that. And of course, who left a review, or if you're just listening and subscribed, wherever you listen, pod platform, YouTube, like thanks for that too. It all means a lot to us.
Yeah, it really does. It also matters. Like, if you're listening, make sure you're subscribed, whether it be YouTube, podcast platform of choice, make sure you subscribe. Also make sure you subscribe to the Substack, gspn.substack.com. Like Ty mentioned, you get an email notification every time we post, plus articles written by all of us. So make sure you subscribe there. A lot of good work being done over on our Substack, trying to grow that. So make sure you subscribe to that, please. But yeah, thank you for listening to this episode. Go Bucks. We'll talk to you next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.